It's time for the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, where every weekend we're here and we're doing life together, and we're really glad that you joined us.
Today, it's all about competition.
Yeah. Are you competitive?
Very.
I know, I am too.
As a matter of fact, it can create problems.
Are you competitive with your wife?
Yes.
I have a story about that. My husband is also extremely competitive, and we used to be on a doubles tennis team.
Oh, no.
It was bad because he was yelling at me the whole time and telling me where I needed to stand and how I needed to hit and all that.
Right.
At one point during a match, I walked off and I said, that's it. I'm done. We're changing partners. And then tennis went well. It's because both of us are so competitive.
Right. My wife comes from a family that when they play cards, it's let's just play and have a good time.
Oh, no.
But no, see, I've got a sister-in-law who's like me. And when we get together, we play to beat you.
Yeah. And it's loud and it's crazy when we play in our family and it is intense.
Right.
People are at the verge of having some health problems as a result of that.
When a card game moves out into the driveway, that's a problem.
Our producer found these crazy competitions, since that's our topic today. She was looking at competitions, and some of these are just wild. My favorite one of all of them that she found is called the wife-carrying contest. You put the wife on your back, and the wife has to grab you, and the husband's hands have to be out, and then he's walking with her.
I've seen this on YouTube.
You have, really?
Really have, yeah. Now, one thing I will not be a part of is lawnmower racing. I don't know why a man would want to do that, you know.
Our producer went to one of those contests, and she said it was wild. Here's the one I like, the World Sauna Championship.
World Sauna.
You have to sit in 100-degree temperature longer than anyone else.
Well, that could be a health issue.
Dangerous. Yeah. Yeah, sounds dangerous. I don't think we want to do that one.
Right. The World Worm Charming Competition. They charm up worms from the ground with tactics such as whispering, yelling, or playing music.
Is that what worms respond to? When I read this, you know how they do snake charming?
Right.
And they do music, and they have the snake kind of moving. Apparently, you can do this with worms with a little straw.
Mm-hmm.
I think kids could get into that.
Now, one thing you thought was a harmless kids game is the real deal. It's rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
There are people who contend that they are pros.
Really?
They have a formula for beating you.
Is it an Olympic sport?
Could be.
But the whole idea here is that if you don't want to do cockroach racing, which is another contest, or bed racing, you can race your bed. Now, that would be very interesting to see. There's even an air guitar championship.
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of people could join that one. But here's the thing. Competition has been given an ugly name in the past few decades. It's somehow been linked to greed or envy and even narcissism in kids. Think about it. We give kids trophies for participating.
Right.
We give them ribbons for showing up to something. Schools seem like they're taking out that competitive edge on kids in academics, and we're feeling more concerned about how everybody's feeling rather than thinking about, is competition really something that could be helpful to the training and developing of children?
Well, a lot of competition that should take place on the Little League field takes place in the bleachers
with the parents. Yeah, I know.
I grew up watching that firsthand.
And it can get brutal with the parents being much more cutthroat and competitive. And we have to think about that because parents are the models for what kids are going to emulate. So we want to talk about competition because it's really in so many phases of our life.
Is competition normal for that matter?
The feelings of competition?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they are. And we feel them often. And that's one of the things we need to acknowledge. If we allow ourselves to feel competitive feelings and we can deal with that, accept that those are there, those feelings can be healthy if we're expressing them correctly. They're usually an indication of something that we want, that we're working toward, that we're acknowledging there's a part of us that we're trying to develop and get some kind of mastery in terms of a skill or in music or art or sports or any number of things. Competitive feelings are a normal part of our life, and we have a lot of competitive moments. Just thinking about people at work.
Mm, oh
there's
yeah.
a lot of competition on teams. The creative team that has the best ad gets a bonus at the end of the week or whatever, or for their campaign.
Even among individuals, you know, two people may be vying for the same promotion. That can get intense as well.
If it's not handled right, I don't think it's really a solution to take competition away. What I see that concerns me is in the schools, you can't decide, oh, this person's winning the contest because then the other people will feel bad. Mm. I think we're taking away something that kids really need to learn how to deal with. Right. And rather than avoid competition, let's help people deal with those competitive feelings in a really healthy way. Let's help them learn what good winning is and what good losing is.
You can feel competitive towards nearly anyone, not just in sports, but even with complete strangers. Co-workers, friends, family members, anybody. But we don't always like to admit that we feel competitive with other people.
Yeah, it's a really good point, because think about families and family members. Right. A lot of times siblings are competitive. You're right. It happens in interpersonal relationships, happens at work. How we feel and how we act are two different things. So we're going to establish that competitive feelings are normal. They're a part of life. We like to win. We like to be first. Not a lot of people like to be second.
Not really, no.
But not everybody can be first. How we deal with winning and losing and how we act on those feelings is really another thing. I might be studying for a test and really studying and find out that the person that took it with me scored a whole lot higher than I did. And I can easily go negative with that. I can put myself down or I can say, you know what, maybe I should just be motivated by that so that I can do better the next time. What we need to learn is, first of all, how to be honest about our feelings and say, yeah, I am feeling competitive with that person. And then acknowledge that might be okay, but then maybe what do I do with those feelings?
What happens if we don't?
If you don't acknowledge those feelings, you can get really cynical. Mm-hmm. And let's say, for instance, that your boss says, oh, this coworker over here is really great. Let's say you're in a meeting and he says, this person's really great. And you might be thinking, wait a minute, I think I need that recognition. Why hasn't my boss said something good about me? Mm-hmm. If you turn on those negative thoughts, what begins to happen is you start to feel cynical.
Right.
You start to get to the point where you're thinking, he didn't deserve it. I deserved it. Why didn't I win? So we got to guard against those negative thoughts that can make us feel cynical.
And a lot of times the negative thoughts become gossip.
That is a really good point, because when we don't get what we want, when we lose or we don't win something, we tend to say bad things about the other person.
Right.
And we know what scripture has to say about gossip. It tells us in Proverbs 20:19, he who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. Scripture is pretty clear that gossiping is one of those things that does not honor Christ and is not emulating Christ in our relationships.
And it seems like when we feel competitive, we can be happy and upset at the same time, which is a bit confusing. I personally have felt the same way.
You can be happy for someone at the same time. You can go, oh, like when somebody gets a new house, let's say, or a new car, and you're glad for them, you're happy for them, but then you have to guard against feeling envious of that too. Envy is one of those emotions that the Bible warns us against because it leads to a bad place. It starts to make us cynical and negative. And eventually, if we really aren't careful about our feelings, we can get into a self-hatred. We can start to say, there's something wrong with me. Why don't I do better? Why don't I have the better job? What's going on with me?
Right. When we get into that situation, sometimes we say things like, well, that competition didn't mean much to me to begin with. Like when I lose in cards with the family, if I'm losing, then it wasn't
you
that
just
important.
Deny it.
Right.
It wasn't important.
Deal. Right.
When you do that and you don't acknowledge that it really was important and I really did feel bad, then you don't learn how to regulate those negative feelings and deal with them in an appropriate way. Here's the message, because we want to give children a message not of being a loser. We don't want to say, well, you're a loser when you lose, because that's damaging to kids. But we want to help them negotiate those feelings of winning and losing. They're not always going to win in life. There are going to be so many times when they are not the person who gets the award, or they are not the person who gets picked for the team. So we want to help them manage those competitive feelings and regulate those. And then we're going to look at some benefits to competition, because that's why we're talking about this. There are many, many benefits to competition. But first, we have to recognize that we have to learn how to regulate our feelings along the way.
Right. Today on the Dr. Linda Mental Show, the benefits of competition. We've heard some of the negative feelings to guard against concerning competition. And when we come back, we'll talk about the benefits of competition right after the break.
Are you a mom or a dad trying to do your best to raise a healthy weight child in an unhealthy eating culture? Do you often struggle with how to respond when your child asks if she is fat or if he needs to lose weight? Do you wonder, what is normal, and how do I best impact my child and his or her eating habits? Well, hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and my book, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, teaches parents how to raise healthy kids in an overscheduled, fast food, video game world by making simple choices, easy changes, and instilling good habits that will improve everyone's life today and forever. Winner of the Mom's Choice Award, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World will give you this confidence, the confidence you need to take charge of your child's eating and raise a healthy weight child.
Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World. Available on Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com, and available online where books are sold.
You can learn more from Relationship Dr. Linda Mental on her website, drlindamental.com. And welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. In the spirit of American competition, we're talking about how we handle competitive feelings. And we've already talked about the negative feelings that come from competition, but what about the benefits of competition, Dr. Linda?
Well, there are benefits, and that's why I want us to continue to have moments in our life where we are competitive. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned about this eliminating of competition in the schools. That's why I'm harping on this. It's really important. There's a psychologist whose name is Shane Lopez, and she's a senior scientist at the Gallup organization. And she says, excellence in others expands our sense of possibility.
Yes.
Giving us a positive surge of energy unless we're too wrapped up in a knot of negative self-comparison to gain that vicarious boost. There's a lot in that quote.
Right.
The first part, excellence in others expands our sense of possibilities.
See, I've got a daughter that's in second grade, and she came home talking about how there's a girl in her class that has proven that she can read on a high school level.
Wow.
And Evie mentioned that to her, and I could see this spark in her that it wasn't jealousy, mm-hmm. but it gave her something to aspire to. And I didn't diminish the fact, you know, well, maybe she's just a big bookworm. Hey, if the girl can read, maybe you can too. Just let her churn on that.
Yeah.
And you could tell it was motivating for her. A little dose of competition in that case isn't bad, I wouldn't think.
I think it's really good. It's exactly mm-hmm. what she's saying. So
right.
your daughter didn't get up and comparing herself to that child and start mm-hmm. to say, oh, what's wrong with me? Why
right.
can't I read better? Instead, she used it as a boost
yes.
to push herself ahead. When I was in high school, I was very competitive in music. I was in the band and the orchestra and the choir, all these things, and I played the flute. And I played it very competitively. What our band director would do is he'd come mm-hmm. into the band and we'd have to be prepared for whatever pieces we were assigned. And all of a sudden he'd look at me and he'd go, play it, Mental. I wasn't Mental at that time. It was Marquardt. Play it. And I had to be ready. Mm-hmm. And if I played it poorly, he moved me down to second chair.
Ugh.
He had Holly, who was the one I was back and forth with all the time. He'd
yeah.
move her back up to first chair if she played it better. And what that did for me is it first of all made me practice every single night because I never knew if I was going to get called on. But Holly and I, we liked each other. We had this really good relationship. And it was just like what your daughter said.
Mm-hmm.
It was boosting us to do better. Okay, you can be first chair for a while, but I'm going to get there and I'm going to
yeah.
be first chair next.
That was my question is if she got moved up and you got moved down and then vice versa, after a rehearsal that day, how was the conversation?
It was okay because we recognized that it had to do with how much we'd practiced
mm-hmm.
and if we were continuing to improve on our instruments. We didn't see it at this negative comparison. That was a little unnerving a lot of time.
Right.
But it was that good stress that pushed us forward.
So you didn't let the air out of her tires
no,
after school?
You know, I didn't think of those things when I was in high school
right,
like yeah. you did. I think we had very different high school experiences.
Sounds like it, yes.
But there's a lot that is here in competition, and that's a really good example mm-hmm. of how if we had had a band director who said, you know, I don't want to ever do that because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, mm-hmm. and I want everyone to feel good about themselves,
right.
I don't think I would have played the flute as well as I did.
Well,
I think that was a good thing.
I didn't want to diminish the fact that this classmate of my daughter's could read so well because I wanted her to look at that and say, Maybe I can
too.
I can do
yeah.
that myself, right?
One of the other things that competition does is it boosts the quality of what we're doing. If you're looking at what someone else does, you're wanting to be on your A game all the time.
Right.
I'm thinking of the swimmers. Michael Phelps is mm-hmm. such an amazing swimmer. And I'm sure all these guys are looking at him and going, what's his stroke like? What does he do? How does he use his body? And they're looking at the quality, and that kind of competition really helps them develop themselves in a much more qualitative way, I think. I think the better you get, the more appreciative you are about the people around you, mm-hmm. which is one of the constant things we seek. We want to be accepted, but we want to do that by watching others and getting better at what we do.
Right. You know, Dr. Linda, another benefit to healthy competition is it keeps you alert. It stops complacency and pushes you to do better. Basically, it gets you off of cruise control.
I like that. And mm-hmm. I like the scripture in Proverbs 27:17 that says, iron sharpens iron.
Right.
I wonder if we ever think of it like that, that we can actually be competitive in a healthy way and sharpen each other and push ourselves and get off of that cruise control.
Well, I think we get so wound up in the way we feel about it, we don't want to have to deal with someone else pushing us to do better.
Yeah.
We take that as an affront.
Yeah. Here's another benefit, Chris. Competition is one of the reasons why we have so many people who do innovative things.
Mm-hmm.
You think about all the inventions and what people come up with. It's really because they're somewhat competitive with other people. We want to have the best phone. We want to have the best computer system. We mm-hmm. want to have the best performance of a car, whatever it is. So competition in that sense, whether it's about business or your personal life, it brings a sort of creativity.
Right.
And brings out the best in all of us. I think without competition, we'd end up settling for far less than we truly are capable of.
Right. Competition also helps you identify your strengths and weaknesses, and you work smarter to self-improve.
I think that's one of the really big ones, because if you can look at competition as, I'm going to look at what I do well, I'm going to look at that person, and maybe I'm not as good in that area, that area, and that area. What you're doing is you're identifying your weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
If you can do that and you can use that again to say, this is what I'm good at, this is what I need to work on, competition can be a really good thing.
What about good competition that helps manage setbacks and failures? How does that work?
The whole thing here is about how do you manage failure. If you never compete with anybody, you're never going to fail.
Right.
When we fail, what do we do? How do we lose? I think of all those sports teams and all those parents, when their team loses, what do? If they yell, they scream, they stomp off the field. We've all seen sports players do this, where they just walk away, they don't even shake hands,
yeah.
they don't do anything. That's a poor loser. If you are involved or your child is involved in a sport, especially, this is a great time to teach them how to lose gracefully. And I think that's an important skill.
It also teaches perseverance, because if no one is competing with you, pushing you to do better, you'll ride the gravy train.
And just kind of give up. You know,
right.
Like, why do I need to keep pushing myself? I'm going to go back to the Olympics, because there were so many stories whenever we have the Olympics of people who said, when I was 5 years old, I just knew that I was going to be vaulting over that apparatus and I was going to be in the Olympics one day. And when you hear that, you think those are people who had a plan.
Right.
And they had a goal, and they persevered in all the training. They overcame a lot of obstacles to get there. I remember in the Olympics, there was a swimmer named Cody Miller,
mm-hmm.
and he was diagnosed at age 14 with this defect in his ribs, and it made it hard to breathe. And one of the side effects was mild asthma. And then his personal story was that his dad was not present when he was growing up. His father got into addictions, eventually died. So he was raised by a single mom with this physical condition that should have stopped him from swimming. And yet he became a swimmer at such a level that he competed in the Summer Olympics and he won gold. So that says a lot about your ability to not only plan, to persevere, but also teamwork, which it takes a lot of time in order to get to a goal that you might have. Maybe it takes others. Maybe you have to work with others to get there, and you develop those team skills and that cooperation that comes along with mm-hmm. competition.
Wow. Things like communication.
Yeah.
Learn how to deal with people.
Sitting. And even in a competitive environment, you've mm-hmm. got to talk. We did this competitive thing at work where we had to build something and there was a race and mm-hmm. we had to work in teams. And so right away, there were people that were organizing it, but we all had to talk to each other and we all had to figure out how to work the pieces together. Lots of benefits of mm-hmm. competition.
This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. And as Dr. Linda just said, today we're discussing the benefits of competition. And when we come back, we'll discuss when to know your limits and when to push for more, right here on the Dr. Linda Mental Show. If you want to learn more about lasting relationships, visit Dr. Linda Mental's Facebook, Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker.
This is the Mental Health Minute. Here's Dr. Linda.
There's no doubt about it. We are definitely living in the text, Twitter, and email age. The handwritten note has become quite the relic. But just because we don't write much with pen and paper anymore doesn't mean we should forsake the kind and encouraging message. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mintel, the Relationship Doctor, and I want to encourage you to share a kind word. Even if it's a text, the power of telling a friend you're thinking of them, complimenting a success, or just saying, hey, hang in there, can make all the difference. If you've ever had your day interrupted by just a quick but genuine message from someone close, you know how a thought can raise your spirits, rejuvenate your mind, or help you stick on a difficult path because someone just cares. While you're listening right now, someone may come to mind, someone you can encourage with a few words. Take a minute and text, tweet, or email that person. Tell them you value them and the part they play in your life. It just might change their whole day.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. On today's program, the benefits of competition. And Dr. Linda, when we discuss competition, what is the difference between knowing your limits and when to push for more?
I think about all the people that go on those television shows,
no.
like American Idol right. and The Voice and all these, and the ones who go on and say, I am the best singer ever. Mm-hmm. And then they even ask the people, have people told you that? Oh, yeah, all my friends have told me that. And then you hear them sing, and you're thinking, what?
Yeah, and then when the judging panel goes, yeah, I don't think, and they beg them, just give me another chance.
I know
I can do it. No, you can't.
We have to be realistic about our limits and where we are. Not everybody's going to be an Olympic athlete or going to make it to the NBA or mm-hmm. whatever our aspiration is. That doesn't mean we shouldn't try. And it doesn't mean we shouldn't do the best with what we have. In some ways, you do need to get some data points from other people. Friends, family, hopefully they're a little bit more honest than
That's the people we've been talking about. I don't think these family members are honest.
Yeah, and there's a fine balance in this, Chris, because you don't want to say, no, you don't have talent, and discourage any working on that talent or working on that skill, and yet you want to be a little bit realistic. You have to talk to some people. You have to get some idea and gauge, do I really have the ability to go and do what I think I could do, and then push yourself from there. It's different, because if somebody tells you in the seventh grade, you're really funny. And then the rest of your life, you don't do anything about that. You don't work on it. You don't try to look at comedy and how that works. And then in your 40s and 50s, you're still not having any success. Maybe that's an indication that you should take a different job and not go the comedy route. Because
wait, are you talking to me personally?
Well, yeah, no, I'm not. But I'm just thinking about this in terms of how we deal with wanting to do something incredible and how we get there. And we really don't realize the sacrifice and the work and the challenge that people have to do to motivate themselves to get to a goal. It's just not that easy. Think about that. What does God have for your life? Hmm. We're all unique. God has a plan for us, and he doesn't give us things that are outside of our abilities and skills. He uses all that he puts into us to give us something unique. And I think the most important part of that is that we have to stop comparing ourselves to other people.
Right.
And go with the thing that is in our heart, that is passionate, and push ourselves for excellence in whatever journey God has for us.
Seems like competition is 90%. Am I better or worse than the other person that I'm competing against?
And it really isn't where you want to be. You want to be on a place where we're dealing with self-improvement. Here's something God has put in me. Here's a skill that he's given me. Here's a talent that he's given me. How can I use that talent? What can I do with that to make that talent grow? I don't want to bury it in the ground. I don't want to let it sit there. I want to do something to nurture that talent. That's really the kind of healthy competition we're talking about. Not the kind where you're trying to say, am I better than that other person? Mm-hmm. And I'm boasting about that. Actually, I'm thinking of a lot of the music scene right now where music stars get up and they talk about how wonderful they are and how good they are. And it's not a healthy competition. It's more boasting. And we want to be humble in the kinds of ways that we deal with the talent that God has put in us. Here's a great verse in Galatians 6:4. It says, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else.
Just keep your head down and do what you're good at.
Yeah, and use the competition as a way of motivating yourself towards that good work. 2 Corinthians 10:12 also says, not that we dare to compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding.
How does gratitude play a role in healthy competition?
We need to remind ourselves on a regular basis that whatever success we have, it's really a blessing from the Lord. Hmm. And if we continue to be grateful and rehearse how God has his hand in our lives, we're going to do so much better. Scripture says every good and perfect gift comes from above, comes from God. And in order to keep ourselves humble and to not get in a place of boasting and thinking we're all that, if we continue to put gratitude into our lives, it'll help us.
I would imagine, Dr. Linda, that the greatest challenge in all of this is learning to respond well to winning or losing.
Everything we do, we want to imitate Christ. Winning is really exciting. Losing is pretty disappointing. But the key is to cope with either of those, the winning or the losing, with grace. And to recognize these are just temporary moments. It doesn't define who we are if we win or lose. But we want to be graceful in our winning. We want to be humble. And we want to be able to congratulate other people when they're the winners or they're the ones who end the race first, instead of being the ones who are sitting over there and being sore losers.
That's me.
It's a cliche, but
right.
It's true.
Don't be a
it's
sore
not
loser.
Whether you, yeah, don't be a sore loser. It's not whether you win or lose. It's how you play the game. If we can guard against jealousy and we can be humble and we can be glad for the other person, that's a good thing. Let's end with a couple of scriptures that might encourage people, Chris.
Philippians 2:3 says, "Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves."
That kind of sums it up,
right,
doesn't
there,
it?
Yes.
It really does. And Colossians 3:23 reminds us, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. And then in James 4:6, "But he gives more grace. Therefore," it says, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And give the glory to God who gave you the talent and ability to do what he has called you to do."
Wow.
Competition can be healthy. We have to guard the way we think about it, make sure that our thoughts don't go negative so we don't engage in self-conceit or we don't engage in negative thinking, comparing ourselves always to others. But we use competition to move ourselves forward, to motivate, to grow, to be creative, to innovate, and most of all, to give the glory to God. Well, that's all the time we have from today. Many thanks to our producer, Pam Miller, our engineer, Caleb Carpenter, our post-producer, Chris Underation. Thanks, of course, to my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
The Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.